Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcast, or Pandora. Or as always, you can head on over to the website, AmericaOutLoud.com, and check out the articles and podcast. And please share those on social media. We have a special show tonight with another great congressional candidate running in Washington State's 10th District, Keith Swank. We're very excited to talk to him tonight and learn his story. He's already ran in the past. And he's going to run for office again, this time in Washington's 10th congressional district. And you know, Rob, we talk about it all the time. We've had on so many great candidates on this show. So great to see the fresh blood of candidates to hopefully replace the lifelong swampers that we currently have in so many of these districts, or Democrats. And you look in Washington State's case, they could really afford to elect as many Republicans as possible. What are your thoughts, Rob?
No, I'm glad to have Keith on tonight, having these new up-and-coming candidates that are running for office, because for too long, we've had nothing but the rhinos running. We've had individuals who have made a career out of running for office, going to the Hill, and doing absolutely nothing. It's time for a change. We need people who are ready to get out there and make it happen. We want people who are down with the agenda, make America great again. So I would admonish the GOP to get behind these candidates and start pushing these candidates out there and letting folks know, here we are, we're here. Look at this particular candidate, look at their ideas, look at their party platform. They're the platforms that we believe in, the platforms that we want. And I think that Keith is one of those candidates who has a platform and who's ready to get out there and run. And as I said before, I mean, we shouldn't take this lightly, considering the environment that we're in and how many of the candidates that are on the right that are running are constantly attacked by the left. So when someone throws their hat into the ring, I'm always impressed that they're willing to get out there and serve and be counted and stand up for the people. So without further ado, let's bring Keith on so that he could tell us about himself and his platform. Keith, how are you?
I'm great, Rob. And Andrew, thank you all for having me here with you tonight. I am a United States Army Airborne Infantry veteran. I was in the Army in 1986 to 1989 and then in the reserves until 1994. And in 1990, I became a police officer. I am a police officer for the Seattle Police Department. I've been there for 31 years, and I am a captain. I worked my way through the patrol as a patrol officer for my first 15 years, and then I was promoted to sergeant, was a sergeant for 8 years, and then a lieutenant. Now I'm a captain, and I'm the commander of the Special Services Section, and I oversee the SWAT, Arson Bomb Squad, Harbor Patrol, and K-9 Unit. I got involved in politics in the early 2000s because I saw where the state of Washington was going, and I was disappointed in what was going on with that. So I started out by becoming a precinct committee officer and then worked in the party there. And in 2012, I ran for United States Congress in the 8th Congressional District, just a grassroots campaign. It was my first time ever running. I just wanted to give the people of the 8th District a conservative person to vote for, because even though it was the seat was held by a Republican, the Republican voted with the Democrats most of the time. So I wanted to have a good patriot in there. And it was a grassroots campaign. And then fast forward, I continued on with the party for a while. And then in 2020, I ran again for the 8th Congressional District. And the incumbent had $3 million. Another Republican who was a moderate had $500,000. In our campaign, which is just a grassroots campaign, we had lots of donors, but people that give $5 or $10, just regular salt of the earth people. We raised $30,000, and we came very close to pulling off an upset in the primary with 1% of what the incumbent had and less than 10% of what the establishment Republican had. So we did very well. And the reason why we did very well was because our message resonated with the people. And had we had a little bit more money to get our message out to all the voters, which is there's 800,000 people in a congressional district, so it's very hard to get your message out to everybody. Had we got it out a little bit better, a little bit more, we would have had an upset in the primary that would have made nationwide news. It would have been great. And so that congressional districts in Washington State, the ones on the Puget Sound area, they're very close to each other. And so not to bore everybody that's listening, where I live now is about two blocks away from the 8th Congressional District. So I'm in the 10th Congressional District. And as you know, you can run in any congressional district that you want, but I'm one of those people that believe that you should run in the district that you live in. And so we decided that we would run in the 10th Congressional District. It leans Democrat, but they are redrawing the districts this year as they do every 10 years. And we believe that it might become a little bit more conservative and give us an opportunity to have a conservative representative in that district.
Just looking at your bio, and one of the things that you said is that our nation is broken. What do you mean by our nation is broken? And you said that it starts with, it's a part of it, the reason is a culture in DC. Just elaborate on that and then go into what your platform is all about, because I think the two will probably be synonymous. So when you say our nation is broken, what do you mean by that?
Well, I mean that all we have is we have the major media and Democrat Party and even the Republican Party out there pitting people against each other. And we are very divided, and we haven't been that divided, as I can tell, in my 53 years of being here on this earth. So I think we're even more divided than we were before. And that's what the problem is with us being broken. And I think a lot of it is because the mainstream media has the opportunity to hold the narrative, and they are an arm of the Democrat Party. So the Democrat Party has the narrative of who they are, which isn't true. And therefore, we cause all these problems. So they get to paint the picture of Republicans and people on the right are mean-spirited, they're hateful. Christians are bad people. They're out to take away your rights and things like that. So that's how I see it.
You know, they say that the person that controls a narrative controls the press. You control the messaging. And you can say whatever you want to say. And we look out there right now at society, and the media comes up with some of the most craziest, outlandish headlines and lies, and people believe it, only to find out later on that what they were saying was just that, a complete lie. It was their narrative. So being able to get out front and to control it is key. So what is your platform? What are you standing on?
Well, I'm going to tell you what I'm standing on, but I'm going to tell you what I think the Republican Party should do first, if you don't mind. First off, the Democrat Party has been able through major media to put their legacy on the Republican Party, and the Republican Party hasn't pushed back enough on it. And what I mean by that is the Democrat Party is the party of slavery. They're the party of the KKK. They're the party of Jim Crow laws. They're the party that was against civil rights. And the Republican Party was founded and formed to fight slavery. And we don't go out there and talk about that enough, the leaders of the Republican Party. And so people who aren't educated and haven't read about this and learned about it, they believe that the Democrat Party is the party for the people, when in reality, they were the party against the people. So I think that needs to go on. As far as my platform goes, I think the most important thing facing us in America right now is election integrity. And I believe people of both Democrats, independents, I should say all three, Democrats, independents, and Republicans don't have faith in the election system. And as we see right now with House Bill 1 going through the House and the Senate trying to vote on it too, that's a bill that's trying to be passed by the Congress in order to keep Democrats in office, in control forever. And I don't think the American people understand what's all included in that. And with an 800-page bill, you can tell that there's going to be a lot of problems with it. So that's something we need to work on and make sure that we stand for states' rights in elections. And I think that's going to be a major topic during this 2022 season and also through the next presidential election too.
You're absolutely right as far as the election integrity. And I don't think people understand election integrity and what we mean by election integrity, because whenever the Democrats bring it up, they're telling people they don't want you to vote. They're trying to make it difficult for you to vote. Having an ID is not making it difficult for anyone to vote. making certain that you are the person that you say you are when you're voting is just common sense. When you go to the bank to cash a check, when you get on an airplane, no matter where you go, when you even receive government assistance, they want to make certain that you are who you say you are. They just aren't going to willy-nilly give you anything. So why is it that when it comes to election integrity, and we're saying that we just want you to have an ID to prove that you are who you are, why is it that the Democrats always want to revert back to, oh, they want Black people. They want to make it difficult for Black people. Look, I'm Black. I have an ID, and I would want every other Black person to have an ID when they get ready to vote. What is so difficult to understand about that? What is so racist about that? That we don't want people voting who shouldn't vote. You would think that the Democrats would jump on board and say, that's right, but they won't. For how long have they been talking about they're suppressing the votes? Since the 80s, they've been saying that people can't get an ID. Who in America can't get an ID? Well, I'll tell you who. People that are cheating. People who shouldn't be voting. They want those people to vote. If you just break it down and speak the truth and say, wait, time out. Please tell us who doesn't have an ID. Because if you don't have one, you shouldn't be here in America. But the Democrats won't raise that question, and neither will their propaganda arm, the liberal media. They will keep making it seem as if though Black and brown people can't get an ID. And to me personally, that is an insult. That is the ultimate race card being played, that you're saying that I'm too stupid and too dumb to get an ID. And that's pretty much how the Republicans have got to break it down. Speak truth to power. In essence, what you're saying is that Black people are too stupid and too dumb to get an ID. No ifs, ands, or buts. If we're going to talk about election integrity, which is what we need. And as you said, Keith, Republicans have got to start pushing back. And they need to push back hard. Why stand there and take this? Look at who we're the party of. Look at what we fought against. We fought to end slavery. The Democrats wanted to break up the nation. They wanted to break up the Union because they wanted slavery. What is so difficult to understand about that? That's history. That's the history that should be taught. And Republicans should stand behind it and not be afraid to have those conversations. It has to stop. I saw also you said that this country is a melting pot from different cultures. We're coming together to make and form a better union, a more perfect union. We're not there yet, but we're getting there. So what are you hearing when you go out and you're campaigning, Keith?
Well, people are saying that they have no, if we talk about the election system, they have no faith in the system. For instance, here in Washington State during the general election, before the polls even closed at 8 p.m. Pacific time, the local media had already called the governor's election for the Democrat. And it showed on there that the Democrat won and 0% of the votes had been counted. And it was on live media and everything. So people were very concerned about that. Like, how can you make that? How can you say that when you haven't counted any votes? And then you dive into it a little bit deeper. You see that whenever you get involved in the counting process, you find out that they really were counting the ballots a whole week before the election. So they knew where the numbers were and all of that, even though they would say, well, we don't share those numbers with anybody. It's just we run them so that we'll have numbers together the day of the election. And people don't have faith in that. And when we go down to watch what they're doing at the polling places, at the counting places, it's already done. So that's a big problem here in Washington State. And I'm sure it's the same way throughout the rest of the country. And another thing is, and you're right about the Republicans need to push back. One of the things they should talk about is if you go to a Democrat convention and you show up there, you have to show ID. You have to prove that you who you are and that you're part of the Democrat Party. They don't talk about that. You have to have ID to go to their functions, but they don't want you to have ID to vote, because they understand that if you don't have ID, it's much easier to cheat. So the Republicans need to go out and talk about anything the Democrats say that they want to do to improve elections. You can bet and rest assured that it's a way for them to cheat, because that's what they do all the time. And that's the position I think the Republicans need to take. But they're afraid to do that.
Why do you think they're afraid?
They're afraid to do it because we've been labeled the party of the old white men, Yep. And the white men are afraid to go out there and talk about this because then the Democrats will label them racist. Well, they have already labeled you racist. So just go out there and tell the truth about what it is and talk about liberty and freedom and the right to pursue happiness and our natural rights given to us by God. That's what they need to do and talk about. And they're afraid to do that.
You're right. They've already been, we've already been labeled a racist. So get over it. You're going to be called a racist, but you got to get out there and stay in the race, stay in the fight, and push back hard. That is the only way you can do it. Now, Keith, tell me this. What is your district made of? What is the population? What does it consist of? What is the breakdown of individuals? The breakdown, Blacks, Whites, Asians. What is your the setup there?
Well, I'm not exactly sure what the percentages are because it hasn't been redrawn yet, and getting those percentages together are difficult, but it's roughly 800,000 people, and there's lots of every race that you can think of lives in the district because it includes Tacoma, and it includes Olympia, Washington, and it also includes rural areas of Thurston County and Pierce County. So it's a whole mixture of various ethnic groups and types of people, and I would just say classes of people. We have people that are lower middle class to millionaires that live in the district. So it's very diverse.
And what are your thoughts on immigration?
Well, immigration is one of the platforms that that I stand on, and specifically about border security. And I tell people when I go out and speak about how border security is necessary for national security. And national security is supposed to be set up and contained and controlled by the federal government. So that's one of their most important jobs is that. And because I've been a police officer for 31 years, I understand all the stuff that's coming across the border with the human trafficking, in addition to all the drugs and the drug cartels and the violence that's pouring across the border. And that 90% of drugs come across our southern border into America. And we need to shut that down because it's bringing violence. MS-13 gangs are in every state, and they're even in Alaska, up in Fairbanks, if you can even imagine that, right? They're all over the country. It's very violent, and our border needs to be secure.
Right. When people think of Washington State, I think they always think of how liberal it is, especially the Seattle-Tacoma area. But what are you hearing out there? What do people in your district think of your opponent, Denny Heck? What has he been up to? What are they impressed with the job he's been doing? Or is he just a typical do-nothing Democrat like we see so often?
Well, actually, the incumbent's name is Marilyn Strickland, and you were right about Denny Heck because Denny Heck was in that seat for a decade, whenever the 10th came about. He's now our lieutenant governor, but Marilyn Strickland is the same type of Democrat as Denny Heck was. They vote right down the party line. She has a 0% rating from the Conservative Review, of course. Most of the Democrats do. In addition to that, we have three Republicans in the state that have a failing record as far as conservatism goes, and they're even from conservative parts of the state, which is very, very disappointing. So whatever Nancy Pelosi says, they rubber stamp that and go along that way. And it's funny because I just got some flyers in the mail talking about everything that Marilyn has done for us and that how she's reopening the country now and everything. And as you know, the federal government shut the country down, and Washington State specifically is still mandating wearing masks everywhere that you go. It's completely government control and crazy here. And we have lost so much freedom and liberty in this state. Many people say to me, well, you're old enough now, you can retire from your job, which I am. And you could pick up and move to some place that's conservative, like Texas or Idaho or someplace like that. But this is my state. I love this state, and I don't want to see it lost for my children, my children's children. So I'm going to stay here and fight for it, fight for liberty and freedom.
And what are your thoughts on drilling, oil and gas?
Oil and gas. Oh, that's so great that you brought that up. The Republican Party needs to talk about clean energy. And how clean energy is not clean. All these electric vehicles, if you do any dive into what's going on with that, for all the minerals and the rare metals that they need, they're doing and drilling in these third world countries, they're destroying the environment. These electric cars, the batteries are toxic wastes. And they're not talk about that. They try to talk about how good it is, but it's not good at all. And then when it gets down to it, you need electricity. So how do you produce electricity? In Washington state, they think that we'll get rid of all fossil fuels and then we'll have electricity by wind and by water, but we're going to get rid of all the dams. So if you get rid of the dams, how do you have electricity? And then if the wind doesn't blow, how do you have electricity? I think they need to call, the Republican Party needs to talk more about quote unquote clean energy and talk about how unclean it really is. And so I believe fossil fuels are cleaner energy, are better for the environment. And I also believe that we should be going to nuclear energy. It's safe and we can produce a lot of it and then we can provide the electricity that's going to be needed. You're going to see throughout this country, and California's already experiencing blackouts and brownouts. And one last thing about electric vehicles, the last thing I read about it was if everybody in my neighborhood had an electric vehicle, we would deplete the grid and we wouldn't have any power for our homes. So it's not going to work. It doesn't work. And you can only drive a couple hundred miles on it. Then you have to recharge it for 10 hours. So it makes no sense.
Makes absolutely no sense. But yet and still, the Democrats keep pushing it. They make it sound as if though it is the best thing since sliced bread. Everyone needs to get an electrical car. I got to admit, the Tesla, they do look, they're nice looking cars to me. I mean, it's a different body. But do I want one? And I can't find a place to charge it? Absolutely not. But the media keeps pushing it. You know, I really think, Keith, that the Democrats have like a secret fax or a hotline email machine just to keep sending this stuff to the media to have them to come out with their talking points. It's insane how they push this stuff and no one ever stops to think about it. When you're out driving, how many electrical outlets do you see that you can stop and refuel or recharge your car? Are they doing this overseas? Are we the only knuckleheads that think that we're going to be at the forefront? Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she's driving around in an electric car. I need to find out if she has a Tesla, because if she does, my next question is, where does she get that money? It's like a running tradition that when you go to the hill, you go to the hill broke. But then before you leave, you're a millionaire. So I'm going to keep my eyes on her, because if she ends up being a millionaire, the question is, where does she get the money? Well, someone will say, well, she wrote a book. And whenever they write a book, you will have some publisher that will go out and buy up 100,000 copies of the book, put them in a warehouse, and then say, oh, they made a whole lot of money. This is at the top. This is the bestseller. It's not a bestseller. Someone bought that crap. Going back to the fossil fuel, that is a safer and cleaner energy. We can use that. And why in the heck did Biden shut down the Keystone Pipeline and then rewarded Russia with the pipeline going to Germany? Go figure. Maybe he was having a senior moment.
Yeah. And then you look at Washington State, where Keith is. They've got Governor Jay Inslee, who is just completely into this climate change. This guy doesn't care who he puts out of work or what he has to do to try and push this global warming agenda. Keith, what have been your thoughts on Governor Inslee and what did you think of his joke of a run for president?
Yes, he ran for president as the pro-climate guy. It's very interesting because the governor's mansion is in Olympia, right where the House and Senate meet. And it's like a couple hundred feet away from the chambers where he quote unquote works at. And yet he has a security detail pull up in SUVs, you know, fossil fueled SUVs, running to pick him up to drive him 100 feet to where he's going to be going to go in and speak or sign some more legislation that takes away our rights. So that's the hypocrisy of the left. They talk about how we're going to have all this clean energy and we're not going to have fossil fueled vehicles anymore, while they fly around on their jet planes, in his case, paid for by taxpayers, to travel across the country and talk about how he's going to save the earth. polluting it more than you and I and many people we know with more pollution than we would ever do in our whole lifetime. But that's how the left goes, and they get away with that because the Republicans don't call them out, and they need to call them out. And I like to say that when people say to me, like, if you went to Washington, D.C., what would you do? And I think you guys might have asked me about that. But one of the things I like to say is I would be, let's just say this, I respect AOC. I don't believe in anything she believes in. I believe she's an enemy of the country. But one thing she says is this: if you don't believe in our principles, we're going to primary you and get rid of you. And I believe the same thing for the Republicans. If you don't stand for the Constitution, if you don't stand for states' rights and the rights of the individual, I would be the champion out there saying it's time for you to go and finding good citizen legislators to come and take your place.
100% agree with you. If they can do it, why can't we? We have too many rhinos in the party. And like you said, I think that AOC or whatever she calls herself, she's an enemy of the state. AOC plus three, she and her entire Trojan horse brigade, enemies of the state. But why can't we play from their playbook? If we have rhinos in the party, they can't get with it, then we should primary them. Look at Chuck Schumer. He's afraid of AOC. It's kind of sad when you think about it. It's also funny. So he toes the line, afraid that she could at any moment run against him. And I think that fear was placed out there by none other than the liberal media to make certain that he doesn't sway. So they keep that out there. She could primary you and she could challenge you. Well, who's going to vote for? I mean, these people that are voting for these radicals, they need to get their heads checked. I don't understand it. Now, of course, in my opinion, and I think my opinion is right, they cheated the presidency and made Joe Biden the president, but these other knuckleheads that people are voting for. And I say shame on the GOP for not getting more candidates out there and running these candidates. We look at your background, Keith, a veteran. So who would know more or best about taking care of our veterans? Who would know more about leadership and following command, as opposed to some of the other knuckleheads that are out there? The GOP has got to get it together. The Republican Party, the conservative base, we've got to get it together. Because if we don't, we will lose. Don't think that 2022 is going to be a cakewalk, because it's not. If the Democrats cheated during the last election, they will cheat again. And I got to tell you guys, Andrew and Keith, it seems as if though we have been in this for a long time, and it's only the 100 and how many days with Joe being in office? The stuff that he's done, it's so tiresome. Every morning there's something new. And it's not just Joe, it's the entire Democrat apparatus and them trying to tear down the country inside out, rip it apart, and just create something completely radical that no one would ever recognize. So, Keith, are you sure you want to do this? I mean, you were in the military, and now you're tossing your hat in the ring again to serve the country. I take my hat off to you. I take my hat off to you for stepping up and wanting to do it again. I ask, are you sure you want to do it? But at the same time, I take my hat off, because there are so many others that are out there that are just doing it for namesake. They're just doing it because they want the recognition. Whereas individuals like yourself, we've had a lot of others on the show. We had Colonel Hall, who came on, and she's willing to serve again. Joe Kent, he's willing to serve again. And there are so many others like you that are saying, hey, I'm going to do it. Knowing that you're going to be attacked, knowing that sometimes the GOP does not get behind your candidacy, which is ridiculous, but yet and still, you're willing to do it. I take my hat off to you, brother, because that's powerful.
Yeah, we take our half off. We are here with Keith Swank, who's running for Washington's 10th congressional district, and you are tuned in to After Dark with Rob and Andrew, available on America Out Loud via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or download the America Out Loud app to keep track of all of the great shows with exclusive content that you will not find anywhere else but America Out Loud. We will be back with more from Keith Swank after this quick break.
Let's get real, let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio. This is the McCullough Report. Are you looking for better sleep, focus, and energy? Check out Healthy Cell, the leading innovator of nutritional supplements for cell health. Most vitamins haven't been upgraded since the 1930s. Healthy Cell uses an innovative technology, which is a gel pack that provides a better absorbed vitamins and nutrients where they're needed the most. I just took a Healthy Cell today before I went out and exercised, and I can tell you I am working hard for America Out Loud Radio as we speak. And tonight I am looking for good REM sleep. And I can tell you I am tired and I want to fall asleep, stay asleep, and sleep deeply and wake up refreshed with Healthy Cell. I'm going to use the Healthy Cell REM sleep supplement. This is the only sleep supplement designed to support all four stages of sleep. So go to HealthyCell.com and use the code OUTLOUD, all capital letters, and get a 20% off for your first order of any product. I use Healthy Cell, and I'm really glad that I've been introduced to it. So I recommend it for you. Again, go to HealthyCell.com and use the OUTLOUD code, promotional code, for a 20% off your first order. Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio. This is the McCullough Report.
While the cancel culture is determined to destroy our history, bringing violence and terror to city streets, America Out Loud will enhance its own message of love and honor for the American traditions and constitutional values that have always been the backbone of what America means: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Andrew, that was a really interesting first half with Keith Swink. As I said to him, I take my hat off to him, a person who has served in the military, and he's looking to serve again. I don't know if I could do it or if I would want to do it. I mean, you think about it. You're serving in the military, giving it your all, and then you retire, you're a veteran, and you can pretty much just sit back, kick your legs up, and relax and say, I've done my part. But to then decide to go back into the arena, the public arena, and to serve the people. And when I say serve the people, you're looking at D.C., now, of course, you're serving your state, your city, but you've got to go to D.C. in the swamp. And right now, that swamp is filled with alligators, serpents, and every other kind of poisonous fish. And you've got to navigate through that. It's not for the weak. And sometimes even the strong gets tired. I remember once, I think it was Justice Souter, Supreme Court Justice. I think he might have served on the bench for all of probably 10 years, if that, and he decided to step down. He didn't wait for old age to take him out. He said, I'm going to retire. And then he made the comment. He said, I have the best job in the world, but in the worst place in the world. That says a lot about DC. And when we look at it now, man, only the fit will survive. And I question their survival skills at times. Because what we have going on now on the Hill is nothing short of craziness. How could it be 2021? We have radicals on the Hill. Radicals that hate Israel. Radicals that hate the country. Radicals that would support the burning of the flag, radicals that would support not saying the Pledge of Allegiance, radicals that want to lie and cheat on a former president, radicals that want to say there was an insurrection on the Hill on January 6th, but when you point to them, what happened the spring and summer of 2020, they will say, oh, those were peaceful protests. Nothing wrong there. Radicals that push an agenda to let all those rioters off although they burned, destroyed public, state, federal property, let them go, nothing to see here. They're tired. They're trying to show us the anguish. Well, what were the folks on January 6th doing? It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It's the same thing. But we're going to keep the people on January 6th. We're going to hold them as political prisoners. Let's just be honest. And all the narratives around it, nonstop, they keep talking about it. You know why they're talking about it? Because they're afraid. They're afraid that Donald Trump will try to run again. They're afraid that Ron DeSantis will run. So what they want to do is to denigrate the Republican Party and make it seem as if though that they are the enemy of the people, that they're bad, they're mean, they're white supremacists, and they have to be stopped. When I would present to you, look no further than the Democrat Party, that party that fought against freeing the slaves, the party that created the KKK, the party that created Jim Crow laws, as Keith so eloquently pointed out in the first half. And you want to say that the Republicans are racist? No, I have to admit, sometimes Republicans do step into it. They make missteps when they need to keep their eyes on the prize. They've allowed themselves to lose a cultural warfare, just completely just gave it up. And now we see that it was a big mistake. And some of them are still struggling with it. We have to have an offense on every front and be able to defend it. That is the only way we will succeed. You look out amongst you, there are more young people than old people. And a lot of these young people don't know their head from their tail. Look at AOC. But who gives them cover? Oh, the propaganda media. This has got to stop. We've got to wake up. And you know what's even dangerous, Andrew? Is that these crazy ideas are slowly but surely seeping into the military. We spoke with Colonel Hall, and she was talking about it. This whole thing with woke theory, and then you had the other day, General Miley saying that, oh, well, I've read this book, I've read about Marxism, and I've read this, and we want to introduce this to our soldiers. Introduce what? By God. You should be preparing these guys to defend the country, preparing these guys for war. They don't need to be introduced to some radical theory. Who is this guy? I have no respect for him. I lost all respect for him when he came out and gave a presser to say that I should have never marched with the president when he did the when he went before St. James Church with his Bible, or the St. John's Square, holding the Bible. That was wrong. Dude, you weren't supporting anything. You were obeying the leader of the free country. So why are you out giving an apology? I knew then that he himself was an enemy of the people. Yes, they're in every branch of the United States. They're all over. And we have to be careful and watchful. I don't know how we can eradicate these Looney Tunes because they're all over. Look at the FBI. Christopher Wray, I don't trust him. He's a radical. Well, some would say, oh, you're going too far. I'm not going far enough. Because you look at Joe Biden, President Biden. He should not be president, but he is. It's dangerous out there. It is extremely dangerous out there. And we must not fall asleep. We must call it the way we see it. Because while we're going through all this, China is so busy. Just check marks as to what they're trying to accomplish. They've already said they want to be the superpower. Josh Hawley, in my opinion, gets it. He's been talking about this for the longest. And the media has been downplaying it, along with social media, of course, big tech, Twitter and Facebook, to whether enemies of the state and Google suppressing information. Don't come telling me that they're private companies, Twitter. Because if it's so private, why are they still functioning under the laws of a public corporation? Wake up, folks. Wake up and look at what's happening. I want to ask that question of Keith. What are his thoughts on our woke military? And what they're pushing now. woke military with transgenders. Now, I have nothing against our transgenders brothers and sisters, but I think you need to know which sex you are before you go into the military. Don't go into the military and then want to have a sex change on taxpayer dollars. That's just not fair.
We're not paying for it.
It makes absolutely no sense. You're okay, then you go in, then, oh, I have doubt as to what I am. And as Colonel Hall said, you have to be deplorable. Deployment. So you go in, okay, and then all at once, oh, I don't know if I'm this, I'm that. Then you go to psychological, get psychological help. Then they say, oh, well, you're stressed out. Okay, let the person go out. You're retired. You're a veteran now. And now you get all this money. And now, okay, I can have my sex change. I don't think so. So, Keith, what are your thoughts?
Thank you. When I joined the Army in 1986, and I joined and went into the infantry, they taught us that our job was to break things and kill the enemy. And we've gone a long ways away from that now. And we just were talking about sex change operations and things like that. When people go in the military, they have that done. It's on taxpayer expense, and then they're non-deployable then, right? I mean, that's a big, long process and everything. And we need to get back to the basics of the military and what they stand for. And the military is there to defend our country against enemies, right? And to go to war, and we win wars. I was just thinking about that while you were talking, thinking, could you imagine how far Douglas MacArthur would make it in the military today? He would have been drummed out in basic training, right? Because he would be so radical, right?
Right.
And he's helped save the world, right? And so we've gone to this other place, and then you see these recruiting commercials for the Army, and it's talking about, I have found my real truth, and it has nothing to do with defending America and defending our rights or anything like that. So it's really sad. The wokeism's out of control. It's going through the military, even the Marine Corps, which was just designed for, of warriors, right? So we've gone away from that. And just like the police departments have, we've gone from being warriors, that's a bad term, to being guardians, and because we don't want to be offensive or anything like that. So that whole culture has changed over the years because the Democrats have controlled the narrative and have said this is the way we want to go. One of the things also that if you probably have noticed too, that the Democrats have imposed on us, and I refuse to do it, is pronouns, right? We have, I don't know how many pronouns we have to describe ourselves. And also we can't use singular pronouns anymore. We have to use plural pronouns when you talk about a singular person. So they're changing the English language and everything. It's all out of control. And Republicans need to stand up and start speaking out.
We've got to stand up, and we can't be afraid to speak out. And we can't be afraid that they're going to label us as being homophobic. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. And Keith, I know you're a police officer in a very liberal city, Seattle. You were just talking about pronouns. Have you guys had to take any courses or been talked to about how you talk to people you are arresting in terms of pronouns and whatnot?
Absolutely. And it's gone throughout Washington State, probably. You have to ask the person what's their preferred pronoun so that you can make sure that you call them by the preferred pronoun. And if you make a mistake on that, you could be held liable for it, right? You could get internal investigations or something like that because you didn't call them by the right pronoun. It's interesting that at the end of emails, you often see somebody will have their name and it'll say preferred pronoun. So I put down my preferred pronoun on my emails now that I send out, and it says preferred pronoun, patriot.
I like that. But Keith, patriot. Well, that's a good one. I want to make sure that I heard you correctly. I want to make sure that our listeners heard you correctly also. So you're currently a police officer. So when you're getting ready to arrest someone or when you're interacting and the question comes up, you have to ask them, what is your preferred pronoun?
Yes, that's what we need to do. We're supposed to ask them their preferred pronoun. So we make sure we call them by the right pronoun when we're referring to them and speaking to them or in any reports.
So there is a war right now on the police for whatever reason, some unknown reason, because one person doing something that they shouldn't be doing So now we want to attack all police. How do you get up and do your job every day? How did you get up and do your job every day? How do other officers get up and do their jobs every day, knowing, unfortunately, that there is a bull target on your back?
Well, I believe that most officers join the police departments because they want to make the world a better place and a safer place. And I've been a cop for 31 years, and I can tell you that I have never met an officer in our department that said when they got up and went to work, I think I want to go out and harm somebody today or kill somebody today. Getting involved in uses of force, especially deadly force encounters, is the last thing an officer wants to get involved in, because it's so traumatic for the officer, for the suspect, for their families, and then the court battles afterwards and everything. So that's the whole problem about it. When people talk about how we're out there trying to we're systemically racist and all this, it can't be further from the truth. We respond to 911 calls that the community is making, and we go out there and make the world a safer place. And as far as officers going and do it, they do it because even though we're going through these tough times, they still have that desire and that drive and that morals and those values in their system and their core beliefs to go out and do that.
Like you said, you're responding to 911 calls that the community makes. The community does not call the police when everything is, you know, peachy keen and everyone is smiling at a party. They call the police when something is going wrong. The police is called and the police goes out to assess the situation. We had a retired police officer to come on and talk about this. I don't think people fully understand what police officers do, because the media has like just turned it all upside down and making people think that the police officers are bad. But they're the main ones who will have secret security, private security, retired police officers protecting them. And this is just like with the military, people not understanding that the military isn't a social club, so to speak. We've got to get back to the basics. Like you said, what you're taught, to destroy the enemy, police officers, to protect and to serve, two tough jobs. Again, Keith, I got to ask, are you sure you want to go to DC and to serve these crazy people and work with the crazy knuckleheads that are there? Because what we see right now, this country going downhill, and it's really unfortunate. How the heck did we allow these radicals to take over? And as one guest said, this has been in the making for a very long time. It just didn't happen yesterday. It just didn't happen the day before. It was a progression. And once they saw the opportunity to strike, they took it. And as I said once before on a show, if there are any Republicans that are out there that are saying it, well, you know, I voted downstream all red, but when it came to the top, I just couldn't do it. Excuse me? You couldn't do it? So you're okay with what we're going through right here today. You're okay with the craziness, with the nonsense. You're okay with that because you are part of the problem, because you could have stopped it. You look at our great country. Look at the men and women of our great country that get up every day to protect us so that we can have the right to all this freedom. But for some of us, we are abusing the freedom. Woke military. I should say not. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to ask Keith his opinion on social workers that we see the left wants us to implement so much more into the police union. When I was in Seattle a couple of years ago, there was an incident where there was this homeless guy tearing stuff up in front of a small business, cursing at customers walking by. And the small business called the police, but instead of getting police, they got these things called ambassadors, which is just people who are basically in a city shirt. And they went and basically begged the guy to stop breaking the law and stop cursing at people walking by. What do these ambassadors do in Seattle, Keith? Are they really helpful? I'm sure their hearts are in the right place, but how important is it that we have enough police officers to be able to answer these calls to clean up cities like Seattle?
Well, Andrew, that's a great question, and you're right. The ambassador's hearts are in the right place, but they're not trained, and they don't have the skills, and they don't have the tools to be able to do anything there. And what I want to say was, and whenever Rob was talking, I was thinking about this too, is police officers, when you talk about social workers, police officers are social workers. They are experts in dealing with people and with mental health crisis going on. And social workers deal with them in an office setting. We police officers deal with this when people haven't been going to see their counselors and out on the street, and they're at their worst points then. And if you just want to have social workers go and try to deal with these mental health patients out on the street, you're going to find out that many social workers will be harmed and injured. They're going to have police officers with them to protect them. And when you bring somebody else onto the scene like that, who's not trained as a police officer, they become a liability and another risk and a chance for them getting harmed. So it's not a good decision to make, in my opinion. And police officers are very well trained. I help train them here in Washington State, throughout the country, in crisis intervention, and they're very well trained.
So why is it, do you think, that so many people are pushing for social workers other than police officers to be the first responders? And as Andrew said, in Seattle, having ambassadors. I mean, that would be the most dangerous thing. And I wouldn't want that job. I mean, I'm running in there to try to calm down a person with a gun who probably have schizophrenia to say, what? Oh, please give me your gun. And when they don't give me the gun, if they put the gun to my head, what am I supposed to do? Why are so many people blind to the obvious? The police aren't the problem. People are the problem. Our laws are the problem, laws that we aren't enforcing. I saw the other day, there was a woman on TV saying, well, we've been saying it for the longest, the police are the problem. And she was laughing about it. Now, what you bet, if she were to leave that station, go on the outside, and if someone tried to mug her, the first person she would call would not be the social worker. She wouldn't say, oh, where's my ambassador social worker? She would say, police, someone call 911. It's ridiculous. And I think it was Oregon, whereby there was a huge unit of the police department just decided to quit. What are police saying, Keith, about this rhetoric of defunding the police and replacing the police with all these social workers and people who really don't have the training to deal with those types of crises?
Well, as you can see, the defund the police movement is spreading throughout the United States. And if you look at in these cities, and they're all run by Democrats, of course, you can see how crime is up. It's through the roof, and police officers are leaving by the hundreds because they don't have support of the local politicians, such as Chicago or Baltimore and places like that. And Seattle officers are leaving for the same reason too, because the city council wants to defund them. The police officers, they say police officers are bad. And so many of the officers who still have many years left before they retire are deciding to go to other agencies where the community and the politicians want them to be there and understand their role and how important they are. I don't think the people that are for defunding the police understand, or maybe they do and they don't care, that if you don't have police, the chaos that we will have. We are the line between society and working and total chaos. And I just don't understand, other than there's been a lot of portrayals against police officers out there, and they have been using that to get people to hate cops. And there's a lot of people out there that hate cops. Attacks on cops are up throughout the country. I don't see it changing in the near future.
And that's really unfortunate that it's not changing. You have these people that are attacking police officers. You look back at the spring, summer of 2020, at the protests and the rioters, people that were attacking police officers, and some of those people are being let out. I'm here in New York City, and I remember I think it was Black Lives Matter, Antifa, they were having a march. And you had a silly police officer, captain, who decided, oh, I'm going to bow down with them, and I'm going to show them that I respect them. Oh, really? oh, look at what happened the next day. They busted his head wide open. It's like, you don't give in to the mob. You have to stand your ground. You're the freaking police officer. You have the law behind you. They're the lawlessness. It makes absolutely no sense. These guys getting up. I mean, and you tell me, from what I hear, police officers, they get up, they want to go home. They want to do their job and then go home to be in the bosom of their family, just like everyone else. Why would they go out looking to kill someone? Why are they going out looking to harm a Black man? It makes no sense. I was reading the other day, they were said that a police officer tasered a biracial man because he was at his girlfriend's house and the police thought that he was a burglar. Well, I wonder who called the police and said, hey, there's someone suspicious on the outside. And not only that, I looked at the guy. I can tell if the guy was Black or white. But of course, the media, and they probably didn't know. It's like this narrative that the police are out hunting Black men. It's ridiculous. Even the most educated person out there believes this. They're not looking at the statistics whereby there are more white men that are killed than Black men. Proportionately, when you look at the Black community, it's a Black man. But why is it that the Black man can't obey the law just like everyone else? Stop means to stop. You don't continue moving forward. What don't you understand? And I say this over and over again. And then someone will say, oh, well, you look, when they stopped that shooter in South Carolina, that guy who went into the church, they didn't kill him. No, they didn't kill him. And you know why? Because when they told him to put down his effing gun, he put it down. But it's always those individuals who decide, oh, well, I'm going to fight the police. I'm going to try to get away from the police. I'm going to bag my car into the police. I'm going to beat the police up. What happened to George Floyd was unfortunate. It should not have happened. Okay, let's just be honest. It should not have happened. But all George Floyd had to do was get out of the freaking car. Now, I blame Derek Chauvin also, because he put us in all this mess. All he had to do was just lift your freaking knee. Okay? Now, again, I've heard that people will say, I can't breathe when I get scared, all this other stuff. But you look at what the country is having to face right now because of two men. One man had a rap sheet. The other man was a cop who probably got caught up in the moment. I don't know. But look at what we're in right now. It's horrible.
Yeah, my personal opinion is that Officer Chauvin did not do anything wrong. From what I've seen, George Floyd, in my opinion, overdosed. But of course, he's going to have the consequences of that right now. But thank you so much to our guest tonight, Keith Swank. Keith, if people want to support your campaign, where can they go to find you and support you?
Thank you very much, Andrew and Rob. I really appreciate the time. You can learn more about me at www.keithswankforamerica.com, and the four is spelled out, F-O-R. Also, I'd love it if you'd follow me on Twitter, it's at Swank, the number four, America. And I also have a Facebook page, Keith Swank for America. I really appreciate the time to be here tonight and talk with you, and for you standing up for America and fighting for America like I am and like other patriots are.
We really appreciate it, Keith. And I speak on behalf of Rob and I and everyone at America Out Loud. We really appreciate your service in the military and then your service in the police force and your continued service wanting to run for Congress. Best of luck to you. And thank you all for joining us tonight on After Dark with Rob and Andrew. Check us out and all of the other shows over at AmericaOutLoud.com. You can also find America Out Loud on iHeartRadio, Spotify, or Stitcher. We'll see you guys next time, and remember to stand for something or you will fall for nothing.